I always like to tell a story, right? When I went to Africa, I heard one story. It's always stuck in my mind, right? So this chief in the village, he never been to the city before. So during time, he got invited to the city, and he was very excited. So when he went there, right, and then he saw this high-rise building, he got so excited. Then he see, you know, cars everywhere, he got so excited. But the thing that excited him the most, when he saw people turn on the faucet, there's water coming out, right? He said, oh, when I go back, I'm going to buy a bunch of this faucet. Then I'm going to bring it back to my people, because my people always have to walk very far away to get water. So when he went back to his village, he bought this faucet. Then he called all these people to come and see, right? So he put the faucet in the wall. And he told his people, from now on, no one need to go afar to bring water. When I turn on this faucet, water will come out. So everybody got so excited, right? Then he told his wife, my wife, turn on the faucet, right? So many people, you know, waiting and waiting, got so excited, right? And the wife turned on the faucet, nothing come out. Why, sister, why nothing come out? What's that? Yes, you said it's not connected, right?
Yes.
It's not connected to the source, right? Because the chief, all he saw was the faucet, but he didn't realize that faucet with pipes connect to the source. So when they turn on the water come out because it's connected. So quite often, you and I may be just like a faucet, right? We have the Holy Spirit, but we kneel down and pray. There's no life. There's nothing coming out. So that's why we cannot pray more than half an hour. We cannot pray for an hour. Because there's no life inside of us. You know, when I first met my wife, I speak to her for all night, right? After I come from home from work, when I call her, right? I always really love to talk to her, right? We talk about nonsense, right? Who are you going to talk about all day, every day, right? Nothing. But that nothingness brings us so much joy, right? Every night, I have to get up in the morning and go to work, right? And I would be up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up at 7 o'clock, right? Actually, back then, I used to get up because I just met her. I used to get up at 6:30, pick her up, taking me an hour to pick her up and bring her to school, then come back home. Usually take me 3.5 hours to 4 hours. Every morning is like this, right? Why would I want to do that, right? So I can hear her voice and see her, right? But in a relationship with God, when we communicate with God, it's never nonsense. Everything is full of life. Everything is full of wisdom. But when we are not connected to God, we kneel down and pray, it's so painful. So painful. You know, right now, right, this is the second day of NYTS. You must make a determination. When we leave NYTS, we must be able to reconnect back with God, right? And a lot of you is already connected with God. Let's connect even more, right? Because the bigger the pipes that we connect to God, the more what water will come out. The same thing in our relationship with God. So here, Nehemiah, all he did, they say, so I prayed to the God of heaven. This prayer became so powerful. Why? Because if the faucet is already connected to the source, why do you need to rebuild it? It's there. All you need to do is turn it on. But before that faucet will connect to the source, you must build it first. So every day in our lives, we should build, right, and maintain this connection. You know, one time when I was in Africa and one of the truth seekers was possessed by evil spirit, right? And then I asked the senior minister, come on, let's kneel down and pray. Kneel down and pray. He said, no. You see, this is a time not for us to kneel down and pray, but just say in the name of Jesus Christ, cast it out, right? Because I didn't realize what he was saying. We always kneel down and pray and cast it out. But he said to me, every day, especially a minister, your life must be connected to God. So when situations like this happen, all you need to do in the name of Jesus Christ, then evil spirit will go away. But if you're not connected to God, even you kneel down and pray, by the time you build that pipe, the connection, it's already too late, right? I remember one time in Vancouver, right? One of the sisters, who's from Vancouver here? Right? Three, right? one of the sisters possessed by evil spirit, remember that, right? And 4 or 6 brothers tried to hold her, right? But she just flinged them around, right? That's why the brother couldn't hold her. Why? Because he possessed by evil spirit, right? Then I heard this one skinny minister go over there, right? Just walked there in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, right? He just sat down and all at peace, right? Right? That's what it means to be connected to the source, right? So when I'm with these ministers in Africa, when we walk, right? When we walk, those who possess my evil spirit, they just scattered. What does it mean? It's him. Because I don't know what I was doing. I just go there, you know? Yeah, it's so amazing, right? And those who have evil spirit, I remember several times, right? Usually at nighttime we have Bible study, a Bible service. It's completely in darkness. So only a person who leading a Bible study, right, have the light. But when we kneel down and pray, we cannot see anything. But when I get up and lay hands, right, and the minister tell me that person have evil spirit, like, what person? They're completely in darkness. You cannot see. But he could feel in his spirit. I remember one time this truth seeker. The evil spirit in her is very powerful. It's very strong, right? Very rigid. So during the time, if some of you went to Africa before, you know they don't sit on the pew like this, right? They sit on pretty much just a piece of plywood. Not plywood, like a wood, piece of wood, right? So what happened, we kneeled down and prayed. She prayed right in front of the piece of wood. So every time the minister tried to cast out, you know, the evil spirit, and then she would fall backward, right? Like this. So for me, the minute she's trying to fall back, I try to go there and hold her, right? Make sure she doesn't hit her head. But the senior minister said, no, you don't need to do that, right? Don't worry, God will take care of her. So for me, I'm just worried she can hit her head. He's like, don't worry, God will take care of her. Amazingly, right? If this is the chair, she would sit down like this. So the minute he casts it out, then she would fall backward, and then just like someone is holding her from behind, right? Then she falls to the side. And then you stop casting out, she comes back up and go like this, right? Then you cast it out and she go back, and then someone's holding her and put her. I mean, so gently, right? It's just like that. I wasn't there. I was just looking, right? I was just looking. See, you can see, right? When we are connected to God, you and I can do so many mighty things. But why nowadays it seems like even we are so afraid to pray, right? Oh, we should not pray in spirit. True seekers coming. The minute we say that, this means we are ashamed of God's spirit. Why? Because the spirit inside of us is powerful, it's mighty. If we want to win people's soul, we must pray in the spirit, because that spirit can kick out Satan. But why are we so afraid? Because you and I do not know what it's like to be filled with God's spirit, to be filled with his power. But we must regain that back. If we don't, our church is kaput, right? It's gone. Really, it's gone. You know, this last Sunday I was in Houston, right? And we have a Bible seminar. And really praise and thank God, two of our members who've been gone from church for a long time, right, came to church that Sunday. And one of the brothers, his brother's name is Joe, right, Joe. And he's married, we have 2 kids. And then his wife, after she gave birth to the second child, she was so sick. Even though she was so sick, and the doctor have no idea why, right? So she tried to find many different doctors, went to acupuncture and all this kind of stuff, but she still was very sick. So she went to a church, right, to a different church. And when she went to a different church, of course, they just think that all churches are the same, right? All churches are the same. So she went there, and the person, you know, she said, yeah, I received the Holy Spirit. This is how she described, right? I received the Holy Spirit, and I received the Holy Spirit, and then the person prayed on me, put his hand on me, and then I fell down, right? And then things start come out of my mouth, right? And the minister say, oh, the reason things come out of your mouth like that is because you have a lot of sin, and the sin just coming out of your mouth, right? What do you guys think? Is that true? Is that true? No, it's evil spirit, right? Evil spirit. So when she come to our church and kneel down and pray, when we pray in spirit, she shared me that her spirit inside feels so scared. But when she go to other churches, that spirit bouncing around, right, jumping around. When she pray in our church, She cannot even get up. She just sits there like that. Because the minute we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit subdue her, right? Because all the other places, she said she jumped around like a dog, right? And she said, oh, that's, the Holy Spirit is very lively, right? Things like that. And we explained to her, the Holy Spirit is holy. It would never make you go around like a dog, right? And roll around on the ground, right? If that Holy Spirit, that's not my Holy Spirit, right? But for them, they think the Holy Spirit. But amazingly, when she come to pray in our church, the Holy Spirit completely subdue her. She just gets, she just stuck to the ground, right? And she can't get up until when we finish, we say hallelujah, then people help her to get her up. But in other churches, no. You know what's funny? It's not funny, but you know what's amazing? Joe, right? He hasn't come to church for 10 years. So he also went to that church. Then he, so when he go up and pray, right? And when he touched his wife, pff, down on the ground, right? And he said, I don't know, when the preacher, right, come to pray on me, nothing happened. And he thought it's like, oh, you know, because he's too sinful, right? And I say, no, because you're baptized in TJC, that's why. Can anyone else, those tens of people, right? They all fall down except for Joe. That is the amazing about God's Spirit. Powerful, right? Even though he hasn't come to church for a while, but God still loves him so much, right? And the sister who hasn't come to church for a while, right? Because she has her own personal reason. But thank God, on Sunday she came back, she prayed, and then on the end of the last prayer, she received the Holy Spirit again, right? And she shed tears. She knows it's a true church of God. You just really feel so amazed, right? So amazed. So brothers, the church we're in is not some church that's ordinary. You must realize that. If you don't realize, and then we will act and do exactly like people in the world, right? You must realize it. Look at Nehemiah, right? He prayed maybe for 3 seconds, but this prayer is so powerful. Why was it so powerful? Because the king listened to him. Everything he requests, the king gave to him. But he knew it's not because of the king, right? Who was it? Verse 8. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Right? He was very clear. The reason the king be able to do this, because God's hand was upon him. The same thing for you and I. Always remember this, right? But we must have the right heart. We must have the right mind if we want to help to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. If we want to help to rebuild the faith of the chosen people of God. And just like the last session, we see that we need to be filled with God's love. You know, being a minister, right? The most difficult thing is not giving sermon. What do you think the most difficult thing is being a minister? What do you guys think? Because everybody has their own opinions, their own ideas, right? So as a minister, if we don't manifest God's love, right? Sometime a brother will call me, talk for like an hour, right? Just yelling and screaming about things, right? It's very normal, right? And sometimes you go to certain places, the brethren fighting and yelling at one another, right? And you have to be the peacemaker, right? And of course, I speak only English. Sometimes it's difficult too, right? I cannot talk to this one. That I always need a translator with me, right? For a certain group, right? But it doesn't matter. Whatever we do, we must have love, right? So here in verse 5, right? Verse 5. Actually, let's verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. So it was when I heard this word that I sat down and wept. Why did he need to sit down? Because it seemed like this, you know, the news or the message that he heard was so heavy upon him, right? If he didn't sit down, he might fall, right? But he sat down and he wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Really, how many of us have fasted and prayed for our fellow brethren? How many of us? How many of us have fasted and prayed for the church? If we are connected to God, for sure we will pray for our fellow brethren. For sure we'll pray for church. Why? Because those are the two things that is most important to God, his people and his church. But if we kneel down and pray every time, we never pray for our fellow brethren, we never pray for church, this means our heart is very far from God. You know, quite often when I, you know, talk to the senior ministers, right? And I remember one time we had the minister workshop, and usually the senior minister, they never show any kind of emotion, right? Because they are senior ministers, right? So they talk, right? And during the minister workshop, when we share about our fellow brethren, right, our church members, and we share about the church, they shed tears, right? They shed tears. Why? Because when they see the situation going on in church, right, how Satan working so hard to deceive our fellow brethren, and how weak we are as a chosen people of God, this is very sad. That's why we really praise and thank God that all of you are here. When you are here, there's hope. When you go back and start to serve God and be connected to God, we have even more hope. So this kind of love should compel us. Right? No, for me, as a minister, I can experience so much love from brothers and sisters. If we truly look very deeply and closely to every churches, even though we are weak, but there's a lot of love there if we want to find it. But if we want to find the weaknesses, of course, we also can find it. Right? But find things that can give us strength, right? And love is definitely one of them. But if you met a brethren, right, who do not have love, they're always complaining, always, you know, don't like this person, don't like that person, we must pray for them even more. Why? Because most likely these brethren never receive love from anyone. That's why they do not know how to love. So that's why for me, when I work with fellow brethren, right, and when I go see a brother and sister, so many of them have love, and I learn so much from them. Right? I remember one time I have to visit this brother. Every week I go and visit him, and he's in a wheelchair, right? Because he had a stroke about 7-8 years, and you know, and he was in a wheelchair, and then he was confined to his bed. So every time I go and visit him, I have nothing else to say. And I really don't even know that he can hear me or not, right? Because at this point, he cannot speak anymore. So when I went to visit him, I decided to take, you know, a couple of the brothers, brother and sister with me. So usually when I go to his house, I would, you know, put him in a wheelchair. Then I just wheel him, you know, into the park and just go there so he gets some sunshine, right? Because every time I go to his room, it's always very sad, right? Because his room is always very dark and dreary and very cold, right? Even though I have two children, right? They are not members. Live only 20 minutes from him. They never visit him. Right? They never visit him. So he's always by himself. So he always feels very sad. So one time I took two members with me. And then when I came back to the house, we go about an hour, right? Walk around about an hour or so. Then we came back to the house. And I realized a sister that I brought with me. Actually, this sister, she's very heavy. Right? And she has very, you know, severe diabetes. And she walked with a cane. And she walked with a cane. So when I saw her coming back with a bunch of flour in her hands, I couldn't believe it. Why I couldn't believe it? Because this sister, right, because she's very overweight and she hardly can walk. She walked with one cane, and she walked with a cane. But she always have need one hand to be free. Why? Just in case she fall. Right? And for her to lean over and pick those flowers, right, from that park, it's very difficult for her. If she fall, she could really hurt herself. But she didn't care. Not only when she fall, but when she got the flower, she had to walk, right? One hand with the cane, when I want the flower. It's very dangerous for her. Could they walk behind me, right? Just push the brother, right? If I knew that she had the flower, I would have took away from her, right? Because if she fall, then we cannot really pick her up, right? She can really hurt herself. So, but thank God, that didn't matter. So when we went back to the room and she find a glass, right, to put water and put the flowers in there. Of course, the flower maybe do not worth much at all, right? Because it's only from the park, right? But that flower made the whole room, right, become full of love, right? And that brother who's in a wheelchair, I never hear him say anything. But that time, when he saw the sister got that flower, put in a vase, put it in his room, then he smiled, right? And tears that come out of his eyes. Even though that seem is not much, but that brother was so touched. And then the brother passed away, right? But before he passed away, that he realized that there's sisters and brother who truly love him. Right? Only very little things. Don't think when we try to show love to people, we must show money, right? Money is the least thing you can help a person with. But prayer is the most important thing. Really so important. So every single day, just like Pastor Huang shared with us, we must intercede for one another. Just like, for example, right now, right? Maybe about 60 brothers. You should get every name and phone number, right? And email. And you can pray for them when you go back home, right? If you pray for 60 people every single day, you pray probably at least half an hour, right? But actually, if you truly pray for them, probably 3 hours. If you just pray for this brother, okay, and then you go, right? And then take maybe 30 minutes, right? But if you truly pray, why? Because it's 2 weeks, you will develop a good relationship with them, and you know them, so pray for them. Same thing for sisters. Do exactly the same thing. Every day we pray for one another. But also remember, pray for the church. I pray for the church. But before we can do that, you and I must be also be connected to God first. If we are not connected to God, if we don't live a life full of love, we cannot pray for anybody. Because the prayer without love, it cannot reach our way to God. It's just the way it is. So before we can pray for anyone, we ourselves must be strong, right? We ourselves must be strong. Let's go to verse 5. I see verse 4 again. So it was when I heard this word that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Was Nehemiah a smart person during that time? Yes, he was, right? Not only was he smart, but also he had high position, right, in the world. High status in the world. But when he hear the problems going on with the chosen people and with the church, what did he do? What did he do? Brother, what did he do? Because quite often, we always think ourselves, we are capable. Yes, many of us are very capable. But when it comes to the spiritual matter, we must rely on God. You can see here, right? Nehemiah, he said, he prayed to the God of heaven. Even though he's very capable, maybe he wanted to go there and do it himself and try to help his brethren, try to do this, try to do that. But no, he knows there's only one person can help. That is God himself. So that's why for you and I, when I first came to Christ, I fell because I worked with people before, right? I work as a mental health therapist before, so I feel like, oh, I could help the church, you know, this and that. Only a few years later, I realized I cannot do anything myself. Why? Because the things that we are fighting with, it's not flesh and blood. So there's no way you and I can use our own ability, our own strength, to help to rebuild things that is spiritual. So that's why we need God to be with us. If you and I are connected to God, every time we pray, it becomes so powerful, right? Especially when we pray for one another, especially when we pray for the church, then the church will continue to grow. And everyone will also be connected to God. If we ourselves are not connected, how can we allow other people to be connected? So that's why here, he prayed before the God of heaven. And how do we, let's go to Ezekiel 37. The book of Ezekiel 37. The book of Ezekiel 37. Verse 1. 37 verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and sat me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very, very dry. Here, how did Ezekiel manage to see this dry bone? How? 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 The first thing it said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And the Spirit of the Lord brought me, right? To that open valley, in the midst of the valley. So in other words, if you and I are not filled with God's Spirit, we can never tell the state of our spiritual life, right? The state of the church. Sometimes we feel like the church is okay, the church is normal, everything is going okay. And also, quite often, we also feel the same way. We just feel that we are okay, spiritually. But if we are filled with God's Spirit, we can see very clearly, right, that we are full of dry bones. Who are these dry bones that Nehemiah, that Ezekiel saw? Who are these dry bones? Israel, right? Israel. Why? Because on verse 11, right? Chapter 37, verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Why? Because they sin greatly against God. So these kind of feelings they have inside. So because of this, they feel that their bones are so dry. This means there's no life at all, right? Quite often, you and I are like this. Remember, they are chosen people of God. Why are their bones dry? Because of their sin, right? Then we can see this bone very dry. And then look at verse 3, 37 verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know, right? There's no way, even though Ezekiel was filled with God's Spirit, even he tried to revive him, he cannot, unless God is willing to do it. So the same thing for us, right? Same thing for us. So what did God tell him to do? Verse 4. Again it says, you prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's the first thing we must do to revive those who have dry bones, the wall that's falling down, to speak the word of God to them. Because the word of God is living and is powerful. So the minute he began to speak, you can see in verse 8, right? Except from verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, verse 8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. See, this is the hope, right? The hope. So when you and I use the word of God, to revive each other, to revive one another, right? There's always going to be hope. No, when I went to Ghana, right, there's seven brothers and sisters who died and resurrected. And one of the ministers there, he was involved in two of the resurrection, right? And they asked him, you know, when you pray for them, they already died for over an hour already, right? How do you have the faith to continue to pray for them? Because for us, if someone died, we just call, an ambulance, take them to be buried, right? But they pray, right, for the sister who were dying or who was dead already, right? But I ask him, how do you have the faith? He said when he kneeled down and prayed for them, he always keep one eye open, right, to see what's going on with the body, right? So the first sister he, you know, prayed for, as he prayed for her, then, you know, her body twitched like that, right? Move a little bit, right? Then for him, he just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, resurrect, and she came alive. Because that little movement gave him the hope that God is working, right, with him. The second sister, the same thing too. The same exact thing. So for you and I, we use the word of God and speak to one another, and then we have hope, and that hope can give us strength to continue on, right? Then you can see in verse 9, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus say the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live. So in our church, if we want to revive or rebuild anything, there's only two things we must do, the word of God and the spirit of God. There's nothing else. Sometimes we want to be like other churches outside, right? Maybe we want to keep people in church, you must have a bingo night, right? Have a bingo night, something like that, right? And maybe we want to keep other keep the members in church, maybe to build a good, you know, a daycare center, right? And the church have basketball court, tennis court, and all that kind of stuff, right? If you want to keep people, that's not the way to do it, right? If they only come because of the daycare, because of the bingo, because of the casino, whatever, right? Just like the church in Dallas we rent from, right? They have casino night, right? Right. And Dallas, the church you rent for, like in the weekday, they have casino. Like they have casino. That's very strange, right? But that's the way they keep the people coming, right, to church. For us, actually, it's very strange, right? If we truly want to keep people in church, we must use God's word and God's spirit. Very important to revive. Let's go back to Ezekiel. We must pray before the God of heaven. Don't think that you and I can do it ourselves. Don't use our own wisdom. Don't use our own ways. God's way is the best way, and God's way is the only way. So if we want to rebuild anything. You know, for me, since I came to Christ, right? I experienced Satan many times, right? I remember one time in Baldwin Park Church when I was sleeping with another minister beside me, right? And there's a portal open, right? Like a portal. And all of a sudden, Satan coming out of there, right? Hundreds of them coming out, right? Fighting, right, against me and against other pastor, right? And many other times when I come, almost every church I'm in, I always experience evil spirit, right? Why? Because they're working so hard. They're working so hard to try to put us under bondage. They try so hard to control us. But quite often, with their physical eyesight, we don't see it. But meanwhile, a lot of us are lukewarm, right? We don't care if we come to church or we just come to church, just know, because God commanded us to come. Those kind of feelings, that means Satan is really controlling us. Right? Really, when the last time, for example, right, you start to go to school on a Monday and you can't wait to come to church on a Friday? When the last time you feel like that? You should feel like that every single week. Why? Because when we come together with other brothers and sisters, when we pray to God, when we hear the word of God, this should be the most joyful moment in the whole week. But if we feel like, man, Friday again, I don't want to go to church, right? And Saturday I could go to church again, right? And we feel like that, it means we feel very sad. Right? Let's go to the next one. So we must use love as the first material, right, to build this wall. And verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Here, right? The first word that came out of Nehemiah's mouth, what did he do? What did he do? Alex, I think, brother. The first word came out of his mouth, what did he say? What's that? I'm sorry. Pray, right? Yeah, but what did he say? Yes, what's that mean? God is great and God is awesome. What's that mean? What did he do? The first thing he do? He praised God, right? He praised God, right? Can you imagine if you were Nehemiah during that time, right? The walls of Jerusalem are falling down. The city of Jerusalem already burned in fire. And the chosen people of God is under bondage under Babylonians, right? Then you praise God, right? God, you are the awesome God. That's very difficult to do. Why do you think so many members in our church leave the church? Why? Because they feel like God is not working, right? Our church, the members are still the same. And everyone is still the same. There's no life. So many people feel maybe this is not the true church of God, right? Maybe it's not. If it's true church of God, then many people will come to believe. But if this is a true church of God, then maybe, right, more people will come here, right, to believe, and the church will increase rapidly. And look at our brothers and sisters, they're all under bondage. Maybe it's not the true church of God. Maybe that's what we think. Right now is the waiting period, the period to be connected to God. If you and I are not connected right now, when Satan is released, all of us will be gone. We should praise and thank God we have this time to cultivate ourselves, to build that pipe, to be connected to the source. Because when Satan is fully released, it's already done and over. It's too late. Remember the 10 virgins, right? 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 wise and the 5 foolish, they did exactly the same thing. Only one thing the foolish not do, bring enough oil. Bring enough oil. So right now for you and I to gather enough oil for the time when Jesus come back again, there's no time to go back to cultivate ourselves. Truly believe in this. Because right now, if we've already been deceived and Satan's not fully released yet, how much more in the end days? When Satan is released, he will come out to deceive everyone, even the very elect. If you and I are not connected to God, if we are not connected to God, we do not have the mind of Christ. If we don't have the mind of Christ, Satan will deceive us left and right. So that's why it's so important right now. Be the 5 wise virgin. Yes, they slept in their slumber. Just like the foolish one too. Because there come a day that you and I can be so hard to cultivate ourselves. Because evil's all over the place. Just like now when you go back home after NYTS, right? You go back to your own private life, your own private room. What do we do there? Are we serving Satan? On the internet? Quite often, this is what we've been doing. But we are the chosen people of God. We should not be under bondage for any reason. Because Christ already gave us liberty and freedom. But we must conquer ourselves, we must conquer our heart. But the first thing to come out of our mouth is to praise God. Even though everything seems desolate, right? Everything seems is not positive. But we should always continually to praise God. Why? Because God is the king of this church. Everything that happened, God allowed to happen for us to learn from it. But we always have hope because he is the king. Now let's bow our head and pray in silence. Amen. We continue our class for tomorrow.